Please remain standing as you are able to hear the good news. The gospel according to John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. It's Jesus, the good shepherd. Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them. And the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. The Lord is my shepherd. Many of us understand that. Many of us grasp that context of the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord will lead me. I should listen and the Lord will lead me. We got that. That's great. Cool. But we always tend to forget what comes after the comma. Because the comma creates an and. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall never want. Or my favorite translation, the Lord is my shepherd, and I lack nothing. Possessions. Many of us can be pack rats, can't we? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We love our stuff. Well, I've got to have this because you just never know if something's going to break or why. I used to need this a whole lot, so I need to keep it just in case I'll start needing it a whole lot again. I have a closet in our house that has a box full of wires. Full of wires is waiting to hook some random electronic device up to another electronic device up, and I know that someday I'm going to need each and every wire all at the same time. That day will come. Growing up on our family's ranch, I learned a lot of many great things and a lot of many great things. And we had a parts department everywhere you turned. We had cars parked that haven't worked in years. In fact, they didn't have engines or transmissions or a battery or, heck, sometimes not even a door. But there might be something of that we will need. You open up the barns, all the sheds, and there's boxes on the floor. There's little trays on the shelves on the side, and I'm like, "Dad, do you know where anything is at?" "Yes. Just have to find it first." What he showed me is that there is value in holding on to something that may be needed in the future. Because you truly do not know what you will need in an emergency case. But he also showed me that there are things you don't need to hold on to. Because of my background of growing up on this ranch, I always wanted the biggest and the baddest and the toughest truck. And I tried in so many instances to create that, but it was just never good enough. And this toolbox that I had on the back, I made sure it had brake fluid, power steering, antifreeze, whatever you could think of that someone may need on the side of the road. I wanted to have it. And I remember those days when I lacked in an area, when I pulled over to someone and I was either empty on something or I just didn't have the need they were looking for. And I felt useless. I felt as if I could not help them in any way whatsoever. That truck was my identity. The truck to me showed me and others who I am and who I wanted to be for others. Until a very humbling act occurred. One morning I woke up and I walked out to the truck to do who knows what. And I noticed that my toolbox was partially open. I looked in it, and it was the cleanest I've ever seen my toolbox be. Everything I had was stolen. Every tool, every item was just taken from me. And I felt like my identity just was washed away. That I, as a person, I, as a being, was no more. And I became worthless. I lost my value. I was like, my goodness, I'm going to have to restock everything because I need my tools. But yet I was teaching and coaching in El Campo. I was miles away from the ranch, and I never had time to pull over on a side road and help anybody. But this is who I've always been. I've always had this truck. I've always had these tools. I've always had things accessible for the just in case. Many of you don't know, but in a couple seconds you will know that this coming June 20th, Alexis and I will be married for 5 years now. Yay! You don't have to. That was a personal yay moment. And then some of you are like, wow, married for 5 years and you have 4 kids. Wow. Yes, we'll talk about another day. But something that you may not know is that we've moved 7 times in these 5 years. Prior to marrying, I had a mobile home. I had it fully furnished. I had couches and tables and chairs and recliners and beds and furniture. I had everything. She was living in a very tiny mobile home, renting a place over in San Marcos. And so she just had her necessity bedroom items. But I had everything. And we moved and moved and moved, and I started complaining and complaining and complaining, and I changed my perspective. Get this, a 26-foot U-Haul truck jam-packed with junk, pulling a trailer that had a Tahoe on it, jam-packed with junk, and then Alexis was driving the truck where the back seat minus one, at this time it was jam-packed on the inside because we didn't have Joseph at the time, just enough room for her to drive, and then the bed of the eight-foot bed was just jam-packed with junk. Imagine moving 7 times with a whole lot of stuff. With Alexa's help, we found a way to live in 500 square feet. A one bedroom, one bath, 500 square feet. I've never lived in something that small before. Again, I needed a big truck. I needed a truck that can do anything and everything, carry every single tool, every single liquid or help device. And when I had my own apartment, I had a 2-bedroom because I needed a bedroom, I needed an office, I needed space. And Alexis was like, no. Let's get what we need, 500 square feet, 1 bedroom, 1 bath. I'm like, my goodness, but if people come over and stay with us, we're going to need a place for them, da-da-da-da. Are they going to live with us, Paul? No, ma'am. So the craziest thing we did, we had the U-Haul truck, we're emptying it out, moving it into the apartment. And both her and I changed our perspective. We had a huge pile outside the apartment, huge, of stuff we had to look away from. Because if we look too hard and we look too long, we're going to justify why we need to keep certain things, and almost we're going to justify keeping everything. We got rid of everything. Things that belonged to my grandpa. Clothes that were passed down from my grandpa to me. Many things on her side of the family that were passed down to her. It was one of the hardest things to do. My first church was up in New London. And when I arrived and saw the church for the first time, it was beautiful. I mean, I don't have the buildings side by side, but the sanctuary were very similar to this, similar size. The whole structure was massive. During the 30s, it was one of the largest churches located in the oil boom. And it was where everybody went for church. In fact, the football stadium behind the church with that school district is the first football field in Texas to have lights. It was a very wealthy community. And when I arrived in the first church service and we were talking about membership and everything, they were talking about how we used to be. Oh, well, this church used to be huge. It used to be massive. It used to have 200 people plus every Sunday. We were thriving. We had a school in the church. We had everything going on. And I'm like, well, where are you now? Who are you now? And so we are 35 members strong. And just about every Sunday, all 35 are here. That church had a lot of memories in it. But those memories were also stored in boxes, in shelves. They wanted to grow, but every single room was a storage room. I gave you a few examples this morning, hoping that you might be able to identify yourself in similar situations. Whether you have material possessions that create your personal identity, or whether you have a house full of possessions that you can't let go of. Because everything in there has its own story, and its own story fits into yours. Oh, well, so-and-so made that for me, or we got this from somebody, or I've had this there since childhood, or whatever it may be. What are you holding on to that is replacing the true possession of Christ Himself? In Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. There is nothing in this world that I need or I want when I know Christ is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. There is no tool in the toolbox. There is no truck in the market that can provide the security, the power, and the saving grace as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we forget that each and every day. Today we've been presented with an awesome opportunity to give. This entire month we have this opportunity to give to something that saves. And we're not talking about airing up tires or putting, you know, topping off fluids or decorating a home or anything. We're talking about meals. We're talking about food that you and I always take advantage of because, my goodness, our plates are always too small. We're talking about education that we complain about here in our area, but, my goodness, just give us something. We tend to complain about church service or the way things go in church or how it's not good enough or, oh man, I remember this church that we used to belong to and so forth. But you know what? The Word of God is the Word of God. And I hope those who preach it right. And you know what? I hope I preach it right too. The message found in Acts talks about how the community of believers sold all their possessions, knowing that together they had support. And together, what that money came in from selling their possessions could do for others around them. They understood that. So my message, my hope, my prayer for you this morning is, what are you and I holding on to? What are you and I finding our identity in? What are you and I using to save those around us? Because in this scripture you have heard, Acts, Psalms, and John, we all have been reminded this morning that there is nothing in this world that we need other than the presence of Christ in our heart. And with that, we are to give everything we have received because we have received it abundantly. I give you the gift of silence to reflect on the word you have heard.